closed her eyes and went home to God. So that's also a very hard thing, because in the midst of all the fun of life, we also have to face the reality that, you know, we're in a state where we still have to deal with death, right? The death of a mom or of a dad. My dad 2 years ago, my mom this week, 3 days ago. Some of you may be missing a spouse, a loved one, a child, friends. And guess what? We're all gonna have to die at some point. Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime and then we just get caught up to meet him in the clouds, and that'd be great. So maybe you won't die. But the fact of the matter is, pretty much, we're all gonna have to die. So let's take a look today and refresh ourselves in the most important thing you can ever hear in the world. Jesus Christ and what he's done to save us. Because life is fun and we can have a lot of blessings from the Lord, but the one thing we need more than anything else is a Savior and eternal life, not just this world, but to be saved here and for a world to come. So let's talk about that today, the gospel, Jesus, by looking especially at Romans. For our encouragement, Paul's letter, chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. And we'll just go through that verse by verse and hear the good news again so that we know and are certain and can rejoice in the salvation from death that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk about Adam, and I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ here. So let's see what Paul has to say about it. Okay? This is a real situation. Let's check it out. Chapter 5, verse 12. Paul says, Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spreads to all men because all men sinned. Let's just stop there for a second. What did Adam do for us? Sin came into the world through one man. It's as if our original ancestor, Adam, sort of found a black box. Well, it wasn't even in the world at the time. God created a perfect world. He's a good God, a righteous God, a pure God. He loves life. He loves light. He created a wonderful world for Adam. But we read that Adam, it says, sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. It's as if Adam opened Pandora's box. And into creation, into paradise, out of that box of his sin came into the world what things? We got sin came into the world. So let's say that. Sin came into the world. That's an invader into God's paradise. Sin entered the world into the world through Adam, and death through sin. And that's the reality I had to face this week. My mom died. My dad died 2 years ago. You've had children or parents or loved ones. And guess what? We're all going to have to die because sin entered into the world through one man. Sin came into the world through one man, Adam. And death entered through sin. So death spread all men because all men sinned. So what are these in the world? So we've got sin, death, and you could really add the devil here if you wanted to. Because even though he was around, he was not in charge of the world at the time. So he also entered in and became king or god of this world through Adam. These are enemies. We got to remember that, because the world that we live in, which is deluded, delusional, nuts, insane, blind, doesn't believe in sin, number one. It's just a mistake. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. They don't believe in death. I mean, they kind of do, but they never think about it. It's just, it's a natural thing. It's no big deal. It's not an enemy. It's just something we do. They don't believe in Adam because they think that's a fairy tale, and they don't believe in the devil because he's blind to their minds. But what do we see from this verse from Paul is this is the reality that we're living in. We live in a world that sin has invaded into God's paradise. Death has invaded as an enemy into God's paradise. The devil has invaded as an enemy into God's paradise. And they oppose us, they are ruthless, they are enemies, and they seek to destroy us. As indeed, we all have to face that very reality, and it all came through Adam. That was the breach in the wall. Adam was the breach. She opened the breach in the wall and in poured these three villains that we all have to deal with, and I've had to deal with this week, and we all have to deal with all the time. What do we read the second part of that line, though? And so death spread to all men because all men sinned. So what else do we learn about sin and death? It's universal, isn't it? Anybody here not gonna die? Anybody know anybody who's not died? Or won't die? Everybody's ever who's ever lived has died. Even Jesus who came died, right? He died for our sins, not for his own. Only Enoch went up to God, and only Elijah went up to God in that whirlwind, remember? But everybody else, it's universal. Sin leads to death, and that's universal for all of us. And it's universal for all time as well. All time, universal situation for us all. So why do we die then? Why do you have to die? Two reasons, because of Adam. First of all, because in Adam, according to 1 Corinthians 15, in Adam all die. Namely, when Adam died, our first ancestor, he put us all into under judgment. He put us all into a death camp, if you will. Is that fair? Should we really die for somebody else's sin, Adam's sin? Is that fair? Well, man, whether it's fair or not, it's the reality, right? Imagine a woman who's pregnant and she gets put into a Russian gulag death camp. Her child is born a prisoner, right? Didn't do anything wrong to deserve that, but because the parent was in the death camp, the child is born a prisoner in the death camp too. So when Adam sinned, that guilt, that original sin, actually condemns and kills all of us. So we all die because of Adam's sin. And the second thing is we die because we've actually personally sinned as well. So death spread to all men, says Paul, because all men sinned. Why do we all sin? His fault again, if you will, in a sense, because we inherited from Adam a sinful nature. Is that fair? Is that fair, too, that we inherited a sinful nature? We didn't do anything to deserve that, did we? Well, consider another situation. A woman who's addicted to cocaine. She has a baby while she's, you know, pregnant. She's still addicted to cocaine. The baby's born. Is the baby addicted to cocaine, too? Did the baby do anything wrong to deserve that? No, but because it's born of the parent, it is born with a natural addiction to cocaine and will have withdrawal symptoms if it doesn't get cocaine, just like the mother. And we also inherited from Adam an addiction to sin. It's called the sin nature, so that we all go after what's wrong. We don't want to admit it. We look nice today. Y'all look very beautiful. You're dressed up very nicely. That's good. Actually, nobody's wearing ties. It's Florida. Okay. We like to look nice, but we all have a proclivity, an inclination, a draw towards sin. That's why nobody gets money off of a movie about a couple of Christians going on a picnic having a nice day. You make money if you put into the movie violence, a serial killer, lust, fornication, adultery, greed, danger, villains, and all kinds of terrible stuff like that. Like sharks to the blood. Oh, this is an interesting thing for us. We're drawn to all that evil, unfortunately. Why do we die? For Adam's sin, his guilt, number one, and number two, especially because all men sinned. We've actually sinned because we have an inclination toward it and we all fall into it. Therefore, we all die. We all have to face death. Where do I put my Bible? Let's go to the next verse. What do we read next? We'll get to the good news, don't worry. We read, so death spread to all men because all men sin, says Paul. Sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. So what does that mean? Okay, so everybody was guilty, even in the old days, before the law was given. They were condemned, and they were sinners. Even before the law was given, did the sin help that at all? Did the law help that at all? Our situation? God gave us the law, but it didn't really help, did it? It only made matters worse. In other words, let's picture if you're driving past a little school zone where the kids are playing on the playground, and there's no signs, there's no speed limit signs, the law was not given yet, and you drove 90 miles an hour past children playing right by the edge of the street. Would that be wrong, Joy? Would the policeman still be able to arrest you? Yes. Would he still throw you into jail? Yes. Even without the law written down? Yes. Yeah, the law still killed people before the law. I'm sorry. sin still killed people before there was a law written. Once the law came, let's say you're driving past the school zone now, and it says, blinking yellow lights, 5 miles an hour, children at play, fines tripled. And then you do 90 miles an hour. What's going to happen to you, Jesse? The policeman's going to come and get you. What happened to your guilt? It went way up, right? Because there was a written code, and it said 5 miles an hour, and you're still going 90? Now you're in real trouble. You're even in bigger trouble. So when the law came, it only made matters worse. It kills us. It condemns us. The law brings wrath, says the scriptures. But it's not kind of quite as the same as when there was no speed limit sign. Sin is not counted where there is no law, meaning people still died before the law was given. But when the law came, now you're in real trouble, and it really kills you all the more because you broke the written code. Make sense? A bad situation for us so far? He says, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even before the law, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. Okay, so death reigned. Let's write that down here. One more thing on Adam's side. Death ruled. Death ruled. And that's what we all face, right? Bad situation in this world. Everybody dies. We all got to face it. Even in the ancient times, before the law was given, from Adam to Moses, death ruled over those whose sins weren't like the transgression of Adam. What's that mean? The sins of everybody who lived after Adam were not like Adam's sin. Why was it different? Adam is the head of mankind because he sinned as the head and representation of all the human race, the first man. His sin caused worldwide catastrophe, worldwide pervasive death. He brought in destruction to all of us, threw us all into the death camp, pervasive sin. Now, your sins don't do that, do they? If I sin, it doesn't condemn all of you, it just condemns me. Adam's sin condemned everybody, so his sin was different. As the head of the human race, it had far-reaching, worldwide, pervasive all-time effects. And that's going to be very important, because guess what? He was a type of the one who is to come. Who's that? All right. He was a preview of the next Son of God. Adam was the Son of God. Now we got Jesus Christ, the second one, the second Adam, the Son of God, comes. And we're going to see an amazing thing. Let's take this for Adam, by the way. Let's consider. Vivian, I always think of Vivian when I mess up the church. Adam had a cup full. He poured it out all out, and we were completely empty without him. What's the second man going to do? He's going to come. Oh, boy, I don't know if I can do this. He's going to come and restore everything that Adam did to us. Sin, death, the devil, he's going to get rid of all those. And Paul's going to say, abundantly, whoa, I really messed up. Abundantly, I should have done it over the terrazzo, of course. Impenetrable terrazzo. Don't worry, it'll dry. It's just water. But this is what the second man came to do. Look at that. To restore everything Adam did wrong, but super abundantly to make it even better than before. Let's read about it. We'll get a towel, don't worry. I didn't practice this one. Okay, let's see what happens. A type of the one who is to come, Jesus. There it is. We read of him. It says, but the free gift is not like the trespass. So what do we get through Jesus Christ? We got a black box through Adam. Pandora's box opened up. Oh no, all hell breaks loose in the world. Terrible, disaster, enemies pouring forth. What do we get from Jesus? God gives us a free gift. Let's write that one down. Something comes to us in Jesus Christ, a free gift that's going to reverse everything that Adam messed up. Free gift. Say the words free gift. Free gift. If it's a free gift, is it something you did? Is it something you earned? You earn gifts? No, it's something that comes to you out of the grace of God. Because he's a good God. He wants to restore and kick out all these enemies who invaded the world. And he wants to invade them and get rid of everything that Adam did. Let's read about it. This is the good news for my mom, for my dad, for me, for you. The free gift is not like the trespass. Cool, say not like. This is going to be totally not like that. Okay, this destroyed everybody. This is going to do something good for everybody. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. What's that teach you? Many died. Death ruled. Death, 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 death. What came on this side? Something called grace. The free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. What did the grace of God do for us? It got rid of sin and gave us righteousness. I'll put that R there for that. It got rid of death and gave us life. And it got rid of the devil, ultimately, and gave us Jesus Christ as our King and ruler. So what is the grace of God? What do we know about that? How did God do this for us? And I know you know the answer, but we got to hear it again. So important. Romans chapter 3, a few verses previous, Paul said, there's no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, fallen in Adam here, they are justified by his grace right here as a free gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an atoning sacrifice by his blood to be received by faith. So, not like Adam's sin, right? What does Jesus come? He's the second Adam. He's the type, the next Adam. What does he do? He dies for our sins. In other words, he's the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. By his death, he's destroyed death. And he's also disarmed and cast down the devil. Not like at all, right? But what do we read here also of this? Check it out. He didn't just restore what Adam messed up. He says, much more have the grace of God and the free gift and the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. I'm not going to pour this again, okay? But check it out. If Adam emptied the cup and Jesus filled the cup, that's not all he did, right? He filled the cup and then filled it to overflowing. Imagine if I could open up the top of the church and pour Niagara Falls onto this forever and ever to this point that this cup is just overflowing effusively, effervescently forever. Much more. If Adam messed things up, Jesus not only corrects it, but makes it superabound forever in grace and kindness to us. Because he restored, not just restores us, but exalts us even beyond what Adam ever was. We read here, and the free gift is not like the effect of that bone man's sin. But the judgment following one trespass, Adam's, brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses in Jesus Christ brings justification. Let's write that over here. Adam condemned us as guilty. What does Jesus do? By the way, his is also universal, right? What he did? What Jesus did is also for all time, for all humans. And what he does is he justifies God's people. What does it mean to justify? Well, some people say it's just as if I've never sinned, right? It means God comes and declares to the guilty children of Adam, because Jesus died for your sins, those sins are forgiven. They're atoned for. Death has been conquered, and I set the whole world free. That's what God did for us in Jesus Christ. That's the good news for my mom. That's the good news for you and me. All right, justification means by his blood he paid the price for our sins. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. Free gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. Isn't that great? Amen. Y'all gonna die one day? Yeah. We got it next? I remember Stephen Wright, the comedian? He says, I know I'm gonna die one day and when it's gonna be because my birth certificate has an expiration date. You might not see it, but your birth certificates also have an expiration date. You ain't living here forever. But the free gift of God I declare to you today is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord by the second Adam. what he came to do, to set you free to eternal life in his Son. Okay? So you were condemned, now you're justified. It says, if because of one man's trespass, Adam's, and death reigned or ruled through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So, what do we hear here? Death was ruling over here on this side. What does Jesus come do for you? If you believe on him, as we read, said, if we receive his salvation by faith. By the way, did Jesus die for everybody? Did he set the whole world free? Is everybody saved? Yes and no. He saved everybody when he came. Just like Adam killed everybody, Jesus has actually made everybody alive. The thing is, that's called, in theology, objective justification. He justified the entire world. He reconciled all creation to God. He's done it for everybody and everything. Far-reaching, universal, all time. But subjective justification means, but you've got to receive, believe it to receive it personally and for it to become effective to save your soul. So he saved everybody, but we also have to believe it to be saved. And what do we see here? The free gift of righteousness. Those who receive that will rule with him. What is a free gift of righteousness? Does that mean, what righteousness are you saved by? Free gift of righteousness means, I'm going to put an R with a circle for righteousness, means the righteousness that saves you and that saves me is not our own righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness. His, remember, all this was placed upon Jesus on the cross so that he can take all of his righteousness and place it upon the sons of Adam to set you free. Isn't that great? Our righteousness looks like this. Well, I'm not going to be saved. I'm condemned. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. But then God says, but I have a righteousness of my own, and I'm going to give you my righteousness as a gift, and it's going to cover you. It's going to cover your heart. So when I look on you, I'm going to see Christ's righteousness. It's a gift. It's not your own righteousness that saves you. It is Christ's righteousness that does so. That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, all my previous righteousness under the law I count as refuse. Counted as refuse and loss for the sake of the righteousness that comes through faith. The righteousness not my own according to the law, but the righteousness that comes from God that depends upon faith. So what saves my mom? What saves you or my dad or your children or your spouse or anybody? It's receiving the free gift of righteousness in Jesus that when you believe on him, he covers you with Christ's righteousness, thereby setting you free, justifying you, forgiving you, and then making you righteous. So we're even made righteous, we hear. Are you justified as righteous, Kevin? Are you also a righteous guy? Remember in Adam, that was all credited to us, so we were counted as sinners for his sin, but he also gave us an evil nature, didn't he? What's Christ do for us? He counts you as righteous for his cross, and then he also gifts you with a new nature. Just like Adam gave you a sin nature, Christ gives you a new divine nature. So now, inside of you, there's something new in charge that's actually desiring the things of God, wants to go in the way of righteousness, delights in the good things of God, and you want to walk with God in the light of his love. Isn't that beautiful? It says here again, it says, if because of one man's trespass, through the one man, much more will those receive the free gift of, the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So who is in charge now and rules? Does death rule over you as a Christian? Because of Christ, it says, we rule. Grace rules. Jesus rules. And life rules. And righteousness rules. Isn't that cool? Unto what? Unto eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So one more little illustration here. You could look at it this way. Football. You guys like football? First string quarterback, Adam comes out. Oh, we got to win the game. The enemies are sin, death, and the devil. What are you going to do, Adam? All right, I'm going to kick a field goal and win the game. I'll kick it through the goalpost. What happened? Well, he completely failed the kick. He fumbled the ball. The enemy picked it up, and the whole team lost. Right? That's what happened. Second half quarterback, Jesus Christ, comes out. What's he do? All right, one man standing against all the enemies. Not only kicks the field goal, friends, but what it says here is, where's my Bible? It says, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Much more abundantly, in the Greek, is super parasuo. Super, right? Super parasuo. Super abounded. It's as if he didn't just kick the field goal, friends, but when he kicked the field goal, it not only went through the goalposts, it went out of the stadium, and it went away all the way into the universe forever, and it's still going. That's the kind of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. It's not just correcting Adam's sin. It's correcting it and then pouring Niagara Falls upon it to exalt you even beyond what Adam ever was. Adam was just a man like you and me, perfect, but he didn't shine like the sun. Jesus plans to make you shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father, seated with him on his throne, with all power and glory into the world everlasting in glory and joy. That's the hope, then, that we have in Jesus Christ. When your mom dies, when your dad dies, when your spouse dies, when your friends die, when your child dies, when we die. But believing on Jesus Christ, he turns every sad story into a happily forever after with him in his kingdom in Jesus Christ for those who put their trust in the Savior. And in that, today, I rejoice. And that every day we all rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa.